Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, the bounty brought in by the crew was revealed to be an imposter, so the Zahn Consortium refused to pay. With updates to the contract, the crew headed out again to find the real queen. Unexpectedly, Cav was confronted by fellow Gand bearing news. Cav had been granted the honor of a first name, and so they chose to become Illyn Cav. Aboard the Sky on Fire, Cav hoped Billy might find some wisdom amongst her cards. Far from illuminating, the reading left them to prepare for anything and everything in their last hours before landing on Ord Mantell. Join us this week for Employee Reviews.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight game Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Intermission 1, Episode 4. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
This Gand's name is Illyn Cav. Illyn. Illyn. Illyn? No. Illyn is the technician for the intrepid crew of bounty hunters aboard the Sky on Fire.
I'm Barrowin. I know what my name is and how it's pronounced. And that's all the useful input I have right now. I guess I'm the captain.
So I've been told. And I am Billy. I recently came into that name myself, but it has not got lots of room for... I suppose it could be Billy? I will stick with Billy. And I'm glad that it is Illyn and not Island, because I've been told that no being is an island.
And I am Doctor of Astronotil, ship doctor, I guess it's redundant, actually, of the Sky on Fire. Although I did, for a brief bit of time, go by Anselmo, Dr. Anselmo, but that's a complicated story.
To learn about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question, and today it is Berwin's turn to ask.
Vestrano, you've gotten around a bit. You've seen a lot of things. Not a lot of things the way I've seen a lot of things.
Not mechanically.
Yeah, not in the mechanical sense, you understand.
I'm not quite certain where this is going.
Right, well, Captain. Out of curiosity, and this is in no way going on your permanent record. But if you had to choose, what are your top three non-near human species?
Well, I would be remiss not to say that...
Gand! Say Gand!
Well, Captain, I would of course be remiss not to mention how fascinating the Solonians are. Your tales are surely a feat of... not engineering, because you're not engineered, I suppose, but,
we don't talk about it with outsiders.
I...
No, that's fine. Solonians are good enough.
Thank you. Thank you, Captain.
I just appreciate that we're on the list. She jots this down on a notepad.
Gand are your second favorite.
Vestrano's just shaking his head and walking away.
You see Billy just pushing Cav away from the door.
Wookiees are pretty cool, too.
Still pushing.
All right, so we come back to the Sky on Fire. Outside the ship is a swirling creamsicle tunnel of hyperspace. As the ship has departed from Seleucumai and is on its way to Ord Mantell, the camera pans in past Rebo in the cockpit through the extended neck of the YT-2000 and into the cargo area as we find Berwyn. Oh yeah, we probably should do a destiny pool. I mean, someone's paying attention.
I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, there are definitely going to be roles involved in the employee reviews.
Boom! Aelin, bring in all the light side points.
I'm going to want those light side points if anybody tries to lie to me during their employee review.
Oh no. Cav is going to tell Berwyn the entire truth.
Whether Berwyn wants it or not.
Oh no. All right. So this is the player called episode where scenes that the players are wanting to have happen on during the travels are the ones that we are going to be doing today or doing this episode. So as the camera comes to take a look at Berwyn as they're looking around at the four crates that are there standing next to the input port of a new device attached to this Sky on Fire. I'm kind of thinking that this is where, what was it? The employer reviews were going to start?
Next to the mine layer? That's fine. I guess we've never really established how big Berwyn's quarters are, so this might be the best area. Move some boxes into a desk-like configuration.
Berwyn, Aelin doesn't recommend using that particular crate as a desk, for that is the crate that contains the concussion mine.
I don't think it'll go off with anything less than like a sublight engine to draw itself towards. I read part of the manual.
Aelin isn't trusting the crew's luck.
You're here, so I guess, do you want to do yours first? I was going to have Billy first, but somebody's excessively punctual.
That's because Aelin was working on installing the mind layer that Berwyn procured.
I was going to have these meetings in my quarters, but when I tried to put a second chair in there, it just didn't work.
At this point, this is probably still early on in the journey, so Illin's looking still pretty mangled and rough, and they are staring at Berwyn expectantly.
Berwyn will defiantly drag the crate containing the concussion mine sort of towards one side of the cargo bay. And then take a moment to sort of square it up with the walls and then sit on the other side of it, probably on a smaller crate. Maybe one of the ones with like a lot of like dehydrated milk for biscuits.
There's a beat, two, three, and then Aelin walks over towards the makeshift desk and pulls up another one of the small crates and has a seat on the other side from Berwyn.
So, a lot's happened since the last time we had one of these little chats.
Yes.
How are you feeling, Aelin? Did I pronounce it right? I heard you practicing pronouncing it earlier.
Berwyn did. Aelin is feeling okay. Aelin still hurts from the last few days, but Vestrano has done some good work on Cav.
I'm not going to let anything like that happen again, just so we're clear.
Berwyn, this was as much Illin's fault as it was yours. Cav promised to be Berwyn's partner, and Cav failed to call Berwyn out on a bad idea.
You're giving me too many things to, like, resent you saying right now. Cav, it was my call, and I made it, and it wasn't a good one. You're as good a partner as I could ever ask for. You're as good a partner as I've ever had, and I am sorry.
This Gant accepts Berwyn's apology, but Berwyn and Aelin need to do better going forward. The crew can't let something like that happen again.
I'm gonna take care of that. But, like, actually, not like...
Would Berwyn care to elaborate?
Not right now. Look, Cav, Aelin, sorry. I know this has been something you've been working towards for a very long time, and I will understand if you want to go your own way.
Well, why would Illyn want to go Illyn's own way?
What? I don't understand why you would even ask that question. It's self-evident. I all but pushed you out of a ship, a perfectly good ship.
Illyn trusts Barrowin.
Oh, that's alarming.
But as Cav said, Cav needs to call Barrowin on those bad ideas. Illyn isn't going anywhere. Barrowin and Illyn are in this mess together, and together, Barrowin and Illyn will find a way out of it.
Okay.
Besides, Illyn still has a lot to learn about bounty hunting. This last hunt has demonstrated that.
I mean, I won't argue with that. But I think you can also maybe accept that our styles are a little different, and that's why we work well together sometimes. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you should feel like you can grow into your own individual bounty hunter. I was going to make an analogy about shedding skin or something, but then I thought that maybe that would be uncouth in given present company.
Barrowin has nothing to fear. Illyn has no intention to copy Barrowin's.
And Illyn looks Barrowin up and down for a moment and then says,
style?
Hold on. Barrowin's going to glare and cross her arms over her chest. Like she would accept this from Billy or Vastrano. But not from Cav.
Not to worry, Barrowin. Illyn is going to help a little with Barrowin's style.
Yay?
But nothing too dramatic.
Okay. Moving on to point number two. I just want to double check. Look, given all that you've done lately and the initiative you've shown, I think that it only makes sense for me to offer you a promotion to co-pilot if you still want it.
Barrowin must feel really bad about the falling incident.
I'm just trying to do my due diligence here. Kev, sometimes I think I've just been hard on you because I care a lot, and I need to be better about caring in a way that's helpful, and not a way that is,
pushing Cav out a perfectly good starship.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it like that. I'd use some metaphor, probably. Ideally a metaphor that didn't also actually happen.
Illyn is content with Illyn's roles with this crew. Yes, Illyn would still like to learn more about flying, but there has been enough in the engine room and the mine layer and building armor, and there is enough for Cav to do at this time for the crew.
Okay, I take the hint that you have work to get back to. So I think I've said everything I needed to say. Do you have anything else?
Yes.
Oh.
Illyn stands up, walks around the crate, and gives Barrowin a hug.
Oh, well, I was preemptively hugged.
There you go. One more thing, Illyn needs Barrowin's coat.
Okay.
So is that just like a smooth move from hug to taking the coat?
Yes, like Illyn takes awesome. A step back, points at Barrowin's coat, and says,
Barrowin like hugs Illyn back, and it's very warm, and then she realizes, no, Illyn was just taking her coat off. For what it's worth, Barrowin does hug Illyn back, because that was Barrowin's plan, but like, after confirming that there's no more important things to say.
Beat you to it.
She shrugs off her coat and hands it over. I suspect by now it has been laundered in whatever laundry facilities the Sky on Fire has, which I can't imagine are great, but you know, it probably got most...
I feel like that's something Billy does.
It's like with a bucket of soapy water.
Maybe that's like how Billy and Vastrano bond. Cleaning things and laundering things.
The clean.
That would be perfect.
Hang out in the little soapy laundry room and work in the sink.
If I walk in on the two of you skating around on brushes one more time. So, Barrowin's Nomad Greatcoat is probably mostly not smelling like jungle anymore, but is pretty tattered from being shot and stabbed and lit on fire. And
Cav looks at Barrowin and says,
Barrowin is not getting this coat back.
And then we'll proceed to walk off.
Well, I appreciate your honesty.
It's what Barrowin trained Illyn to do.
And scene. Then I was figuring Barrowin and Vastrano or Barrowin and Billy would be the next one.
Barrowin and Vastrano probably is what Billy's last is.
Okay.
The thing.
Okay. I am totally down with that.
That's because Billy's the one that actually is getting fired.
I'm sitting here muted, so I figured I might as well get that reaction on
Thank
recording.
You.
No. At least if you fire me out of the airlock, I don't need to breathe.
At least you can
as well find you.
At least you can float through the cold emptiness of space, fully aware of what's happening, but unable to do anything about it.
I knew I should have sprung for the rocket boots.
So has Barrowin paged Vastrano into her quarters or office or?
I think we're using the cargo bay, apparently.
In that case, Vastrano will come into the cargo bay, kind of looking around a little confused.
There are boxes of mines and a large contraption Cav is only halfway through installing.
I have not spent a great deal of time in here, Captain. Was there something you needed my assistance with?
Oh, just, I'm just doing a crew check-in sort of thing after everything that happened. Barrowin closes and locks the door behind Vastrano, mainly because she probably figures Cav is, like, coming back to keep working on installing the mine layer, and she does not want Cav in the room during employee reviews. So at some point, I fully assume that we will just hear a thud on the exterior of the door. But until that point, Barrowin motions Vastrano towards a small box next to a larger box.
His brows are a little furrowed, but he does as obliged.
Since having the conversation with Illyn, Barrowin has retrieved a data pad and a model of a YT-1300 from her quarters to place on her desk. So it looks more official. So, you're probably wondering if that last mission is normal for us.
The thought had allowed itself to venture into my mind at some point, yes.
It was a little messier than usual, but this is kind of the gig. Sometimes people double cross you. Sometimes people are in jungles and there's monsters and primates and stuff.
I'm not quite certain what it was that you heard, but I have no intention of double crossing anybody here.
That's not. I didn't mean you. More. I mean, I'm not happy about the situation with Venlana, obviously, but.
Oh.
We can drop you off somewhere if you want. There's a few good planets, more or less, en route to Ord Mantell.
Oh.
There's also Ord Mantell itself. It's not a very good planet, but there's lots of people going in and out.
Will you permit me to at least say goodbye to Cav first?
Only Cav?
Well, I don't know who else I...
That's... I don't mean you have to leave. I just mean...
You want me to?
No, I assumed you would want to.
Oh, you locked the door. I assumed this was a reprimand of some sort.
Oh, no. I just didn't want Aelin to walk in on us, and I didn't exactly make clear before they left that I'd be using the space.
Oh.
But you'll note that's an omission of information, not deception.
So the others don't want me gone?
No. Nobody wants you gone. I just...
Oh, such a relief. It's very hard to read, Billy, and I really admire her, but I could never really tell if you know, she found of any use of me at all, you know, especially considering I can't assist her with any of her issues as she's not an Organican. I've always had a bit of a strained relationship with droids, just simply because I don't understand how they work, and when I don't understand how something works, I have a hard time relating and conversing appropriately. I'm rambling.
In the midst of Vestrano's nervous rambling, Barrowin's just going to get up and hug Vestrano rather than actually interrupt.
This giant coatless space otter gets up and hugs Vestrano. That's amazing.
I mean, I think she probably has some kind of coveralls or something.
Well, yeah, I was just mean without the coat.
Yeah. She's not naked. She's not a Wookiee. Although Solonians are, like, basically all of the more animal-like species in Star Wars, their own normal garb seems to be very little. But it's not usually coats. Barrowin doesn't dress like a Solonian.
I think in response to the hug, Vestrano will do that sort of, like, stiffen up. Something just hugged me and I wasn't expecting it. And then reach his hands around and hug back.
We're all glad you're here, Vestrano. I'm glad you're here.
That is really good to hear. I must admit to having misjudged you at least twofold.
What do you mean? I'm not that hard to read, am I?
I don't think it's that you're hard to read per se. It's just that I think I come with, you know, going on this adventure, journey, job, mission, whatever, I don't know. I guess I might have allowed myself to think that it would be easy? Well, not easy. More that, quite frankly, at first glance, you seemed a group of simple bounty hunters with simple bounty hunter goals. And I have obviously, of course, since grown to find you all to be a very nuanced lot of complex individuals. And I find your goals to not be distasteful. And I actively enjoy being in your company. So, ergo, I am pleased to continue my employment if it pleases everyone else.
I mean, I'm sure everybody else is fine with it, but... ultimately, I'm the one who gets to say, and I think you should stay. If you're fine with that, knowing that I can't guarantee you won't be shot at some more, or fire adjacent, or... Well, we have mines now. She indicates several crates that are, like, labeled with enormous, like, warning, like, graphics.
Well, I do admit that getting shot was an experience that I don't relish undertaking again. I understand that it can happen and I shall steel myself.
There is one other thing. Some would say I'm a shrewd judge of character, and I've picked up on a little bit of discomfort you sometimes feel in my presence. I don't think Cav's noticed.
Well, I suppose that goes back to my statement about having misjudged you twofold. Initially, when I had thought that, you know, the simpler bounty hunter comment, that I could be a bit more informal with you, and I made that mistake fairly early on with that conversation, and you showed me very quickly that you are a strict captain and not to be talked to so informally, and I'm trying to make sure that I don't make a misstep like that with you again.
Do you really think I'm strict? I mean, I can be businesslike under fire, but that's more because of the under fire part.
Might I have permission to be
candid?
No, not yes.
You don't have to ask my permission for these things.
You have a very strict sense of morality, of which I am not used to, and I have spent a great deal of my life lying.
Oh.
And I don't want to slip into old habits.
Well, I appreciate the effort a lot. So keep up the good work. And Vistrano, my door is always open. Not just because the servo broke and Cav hasn't fixed it yet, but, you know, also, like, metaphorically speaking, you can come to me anytime you want. I take charge when it is about the job or we're dealing with an employer, especially someone like Vinlana, who we can't really trust to tell us everything or mean what she says, and or when we're being shot at or lives are on the line. All of those times, I yeah. But otherwise, times like this, I just want us to be comfortable around each other, and feel like we can have a, you know, healthy relationship.
I would like that very much.
Baron hugs Vistrano again. This was the pre-planned hug. The earlier hug was an improvised hug.
Cav sees how it is. Vistrano gets two hugs.
Cav does not see how it is. Cav is locked out of the cargo bay.
Does Baron say that out loud?
Yeah, I just picture Barrowin's notes for these meetings. Address point, encourage conversation, hug.
But Barrowin's notes are, for Cav, they are like the extensive laundry list of all of the things that have had to be fixed, or fires that have, literal fires that have had to be put out, figurative fires that have had to be put out, and then hug at the bottom. Billy's notes are just kind of scrawled into the margins of the instructions for the YT-1300 model, and Vistrano's notes are literally just a page with 1, 2, 3 and the word Salonian written next to the 1. Oh, but all of those things are strictly under lock and key, because HR would be really upset if people saw those.
You are HR.
You're not HR.
Or am I HR?
You're Billy.
I am Billy.
So while Barrowin is hugging Vistrano, and Vistrano's kind of relaxed at this point, could I ask you a question, Captain?
Of course, yeah. That whole thing I just said was so that you could ask me questions without first asking me if you could ask me questions.
Right. Well, this is a bit... Do you... I think that the Lagomorph is getting into my Naboo lettuce, and it's really... How do you think I should ask Vrebo in terms of keeping an eye on it a bit better?
Oh, for a moment, Barrowin probably looks like she was prepared for a much more, like, significant question than this, and she takes a moment to kind of recover.
Because he ate the entire first batch.
Oh, that's not great.
All the way down to the stock. It was very unfortunate. Those seeds were very hard to come by.
I mean, just, you know, ask Rebo nicely. He's pretty chill.
No 3B, no!
If Rebo doesn't keep 3B on a shorter leash, just let me know and I can make sure that things, you know, work out. I can even maybe get Illyn to make a special separate locked storage unit for your lettuce.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's in the extra room as it is. I don't know how it got in there.
Huh. Well, just, you're very polite. I'm sure Vrebo will understand. So, you know, just like you would ask anyone else for this kind of thing. Except not so much how you would ask, but like how you, if you were more comfortable, would ask.
You don't think he's going to cry?
I mean, I think you know whether or not Rodians can cry more than I know. Like anatomically.
That's a good point.
Well, I've got one more of these to see to, so you should...
Indeed, yes. I will Yes. Do you want me to send anyone in, or
Just tell Billy?
Indeed. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Scurry away.
Yeah, Barrowin unlocks the door.
Is Barrowin done yet?
I have to talk to Billy.
Fine. But if Billy gets 3 hugs, Ilan will be very upset.
How do you know about the second hug?
I feel as though we've already established that Cav has means of surveillance.
Yeah, I'm just sort of thinking, remember, like, K3 Cav comes knew down from the ceiling roles. Or something.
We find out, like, K6 was just stuck in here and a bit of a panic in the background the entire time.
The actual danger ball.
Yeah, it's been caught in a logic loop of, like, do I start shooting my way out now? Is this...
It's got the little... You cut to the screen and you see it target, friendly. Dilemma, escape, or goal, escape, target, friendly, goal, escape.
Based on what I imagine Cav's targeting priorities are, K6 would, like, scan all the boxes that have, like, biscuit components. Are like, nope, can't shoot that. Nope, can't shoot that. That's definitely a no-go. Then, like, focuses on one of the boxes with a mine in it and doesn't recognize it.
And then the door opens and K6 hears Cav's voice and just goes and zooms out of the cargo hold over Cav's head, Ilan's head.
It's okay, you can use the names interchangeably. Ilan is likely to, since scanned. If they have extra names, do go up and down the scale quite often.
Depending on how contrite they feel. It's amazing.
Yep. I got 3 right. Settings now. I got to get used to it.
Billy, report to my ready room.
I suppose it's a room and it is ready.
I mean, it is.
So
there's also a piece of paper with a scrawled ready room with an arrow taped to whatever the corridor junction.
So when Billy is informed that she should report, she will indeed report to the ready room. Is Barrowin seated once more?
Yep.
Busily kind of shuffling data slates and tapping them, straightening them on the desk. Maybe adjusting the angle
notably,
of YT-1300.
Notably not really looking at any of them, just kind of manipulating them.
So fidgeting, businesslike. Billy will walk in.
Lock the door behind you, please.
Without saying anything. Oh.
Glare.
Is Cav just standing there out in the corridor?
Billy looks at Cav and looks at Barrowin and closes the door and hits the lock button and then goes over and sits on the overtly selected and isolated crate, her legs straight on their feet, flat on the floor, and she sets her elbows on her legs and folds her hands in front of her.
So I suppose you're probably wondering why I've called you here. I'm just checking in with everybody. How are you feeling?
I am in full functioning order.
Okay. What about emotionally?
Is this in regards to a certain event? Or in a general sense?
I mean, a certain series of events? Read the last week or so, mainly?
Ah, the misadventure in the jungle. Still, we came out successfully. For a given definition of success and revised parameters for a mission.
Yeah. Not thrilled with that part, but we do what we can. So, I just wanted to address one thing first. The little bit of dishonesty that we, you know, trafficked in a little bit there to get into the pirate base is, that's a one-time thing. That's, drawing the line. I mean, it was the right call at the time, but, I just want to be clear. Also, I have an offer for you, or a request, depending on how you want to frame it.
Billy is sitting there, still as only a droid can be, just looking at you.
Are you in power saving mode? Is that...
I am paying full attention. Would you prefer if I... made small gestures to put you at ease, as though I were a biological.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you just, like, move your head back and forth periodically or something.
She sets her side, like, lowers her arms so that her hands are on her knees, and she just kind of twitches her fingers now and again, like she's tapping her fingers.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. Billy, would you be interested in being second in command?
Billy's head kind of tilts and her eyes dim.
Forgive me, I do not believe that I heard you correctly.
Barrowin nervously looks towards the door, which she assumes Cav is still on the immediate other side of.
After everything, I feel like I could use a first mate. You know, to be in charge if I'm not around or indisposed or have a terrible idea.
To be fair, while the idea was perhaps not what one might call stellar, it was effective, and it could have gone better. I do not believe you should take full blame for dodgy rope.
And I do not believe that you're, answering my question.
I would be honored to accept the responsibility if this is a choice made because you believe I am worthy of the task and not because you wish to alleviate your own burden.
Of course I believe you're worthy of the task. I'm not just going to do this out of hand to make myself feel better. That would, I mean, if I was going to do that, I would ask Cav, frankly. Because, you know, Cav might be a little hurt, but I thought about it a lot, and I think you're actually the right choice.
Then I will accept this task, and I thank you for the consideration.
And I only want you to do it if you actually do want to do it. You're not in a situation where you have to take orders just because you're a droid.
I believe that you gave me a gift once that would make that incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
So, yes, I make this choice of my own will. Yes, this is... Thank you. Will you have a list of duties?
I mean, having an official second-in-command is getting a little more organized than I usually am. I'm not sure I'm ready for a list of duties. Just business as usual, but I'll make sure that everybody's aware that you're my number two. And if I'm not here, you're the one who gets to, you're the one who's in charge. And also that if you think I'm making a bad decision, I want you to tell me. Don't guarantee that I'll listen, but...
I will endeavor to support you as need be and discuss things with you as problems arise.
Thank you, Billy.
Billy's just sitting there, still tapping her knees.
If you don't have anything else to talk about, I don't have anything else to talk about.
I do not believe I currently have any questions or disputes that need rendered. I will return to my task. I'm currently endeavoring to make 3B's cage more difficult to escape from. However, since I have not ascertained how 3B escapes from said cage, the task is rather onerous.
Well, that sounds like a great first mate delegation type job. So I'll leave that in your capable hands.
Barrowin stands up and,
Billy will stand up and hold a hand out to shake.
Yes, Barrowin will shake Billy's hand.
And then smart salute, and she'll turn and let herself out of the cargo hold.
Barrowin will also leave, and if Cav is still there, it's all yours.
Which I don't think Cav is. Probably to Barrowin's surprise.
And then the camera roams through the hulls of the Sky on Fire, as it does go and find Illyn.
Where does Vastrano set up to do the doctoring?
Well, so as Vastrano left the meeting with Barrowin and Kaff was right outside, he will flag them down and I guess head to the kitchen. It's pretty clean. Yeah, there's a table. It's cleanish. There's a sink there. It's yeah.
Okay, then I think we're set up in the kitchen. And Vistrano's looking over Cav's wounds, and probably the first word we hear as the camera finds us is,
"Ow! That spot is still tender, Vistrano."
Well, that's actually a really good sign. I needed to test to make sure that your, you know, nerve endings were healing up in that spot nicely, because sometimes when you patch up an exoskeleton like that, you can't actually feel anything in it for a long time, and it's actually a really good sign that you can. I should have warned you, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ellen did not know that Cav was supposed to keep an eye on that.
I figured it was best to leave that to me. You've got so much to think about.
Right.
What's Freebo doing over there? And then he pushes on another part.
Ow! Yes, that spot is good too.
That's excellent. It's got good coloration, good blood flow. Yes, this is... I'm very pleased.
So is the Cav going to be okay?
Of course.
The scan is where the scan took quite a bit of damage, so that was a concern.
And Ilan turns and is eyeing a plate of biscuits that's been just left on the counter, and then pulls their eyes away.
How's your appetite?
Oh, good. Actually, that was something the scan wanted to talk to Vastrano about, and the scan realizes it's a slippery slope.
I'm not quite sure I follow.
Would Vastrano be willing to help Cav be perhaps a little healthier? Not like cutting out old biscuits or fizzy gulg or other proper food, but perhaps supplementing some of what Cav eats with.
Vastrano doesn't say anything, but he gets this look on his face of scheming, and he pulls out his data pad and he starts punching in things. This is an excellent plan. See, I was doing a little bit of an analysis on your caloric intake, and I've got some ideas for exactly what to do about that. Because if you optimize, see, look at this right here, this chart. And then he just starts going on.
If Gan could sweat. Ilan is nodding along as Vastrano's pointing things out.
But Vastrano, that number seems a lot smaller than that number by several thousand.
Well, no, because if you think about it, I'm growing a very full of many very... I'm trying to Star Wars speak this without using the word superfood, because I just want to talk about kale.
It's okay, it's Chandrilla Kale or something like that. Just pick a planet name.
No, because what you are taking away when you get rid of this category of things, and then you add in this category of things, and you are gaining so much more energy and proteins. And that is actually the sort of thing, if you look at the analysis of the nutrients in this subset of foods, and then you think about the danger that we're in all the time. Healing. It promotes healing.
That would be very useful. Ilan had to do a lot of healing rather quickly. This list looks like it also includes exercise.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that maybe we could do that as a bit of a bonding exercise. I've got some equipment in my quarters. And
like the weird ball thing that Vastrano punches.
Yes, I can lower it.
How much time will the exercise take?
Well, ideally, one would get up early and...
So like 10 o'clock.
That's a good start. And you just start your day with a bit more blood flow. And then you can eat anything from this category here. I'm still showing off the data pad. And then you just can't eat anything for 4 hours until your next set of exercise.
Ilan's mandibles are like shut really, really tightly. And they turn and eye the plate of biscuits again.
And then Vastrano is going to reach over, grab the plate of biscuits, put it in front of them, pick up a biscuit himself, and then switch to a different page on the data pad and say, or we could start with this less rigorous plan right here.
That one. Cav likes that plan better. Cav needs to take small steps, build up to it.
And Cav's mandibles split wide in that horrifying smile.
And Vastrano will just take a bite of the biscuit and kind of do a little bit of an eyebrow raise. I have bartered.
Thank you, Vastrano, for being willing to help Ilan.
Of course, my friend.
And then Cav will very carefully take only a single biscuit and give like the plate a little push away. And we'll savor that singular biscuit.
Oh.
What? Cav's growing up.
For a given definition of up.
Cav will look taller if Cav manages to lose weight.
Oh, buddy.
And works on her bare posture.
But that is all I had. Unless we want to deal with gear stuff.
Well, I am kind of thinking that we've got enough time to deal with gear stuff now. So that's in this one, especially considering like all the time Cav is going through this entire flight, Cav is pretty much in their work area. If they aren't installing and modifying the mine layer, Cav is going off and doing a bunch of other things.
Yeah, Cav is basically occupied either sleeping or doing crafting repair work or building things for 9 out of the 10 days, basically.
You should take up that work schedule with your supervisor. Next year.
For next year's employee review.
Yeah, the employee reviews for this year have passed. You missed your chance.
Cav would like to put in for Cav's week vacation.
Nope.
For now.
All right. So, yeah, I'm sort of thinking that the voyage is, like, you've been in hyperspace for about 9.5 days, that the hyperspace voyage is about to end. And Cav is finally finished doing all their work. 3B has been amazingly well-behaved. Berwyn and Rebo are trading cooking recipes.
Berwyn probably also helped Cav with some minor mechanical tasks over the course of the trip, since she does have Gadgeteer, of all things.
And a rank in mechanics, too, right?
I forget if I actually have a rank in mechanics.
I thought you did.
I know it's something that I thought about because of the Gadgeteer thing. It's certainly a career skill.
Like, that absolutely makes sense, especially around that mine layer. So, which, by the way, listeners, there's a mine layer weapon on the Sky on Fire now.
Berwyn is also just Cav has gotten more concerned with the interior broadcast suite. So.
Right, there was that got set up too.
Interior broadcast suite?
We can now play music, but through the entire ship instead of just like.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Cav has discovered this great new band called Maddie and the Droid Guy.
Leslie has zero qualms with it, and Billy can turn off her ears.
Their first and only album was a live show. Cav isn't sure why.
They seem to have disappeared after that.
Cav.
Yes, fair one?
Pilot picks music. Mechanic shuts their biscuit hole.
We'll see about that, Captain.
Excuse me, I'm just going to write this down. Pilot picks music.
And there's Freebo just sort of sitting in the kitchen lounge area, steepling their fingers.
All right, so are we doing the summoning everybody to the kitchen thing?
Yeah, like a final dinner just before getting out of hyperspace is kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay. So, Leslie, did you want to have like the little scene of us walking to the kitchen or just start there?
Yeah, I figure I would meet you in the shop, and then if you want... Well, here, we'll start out that way.
Okay.
So, Vrebo is hanging out in the kitchen. Billy casts a weather eye to make sure 3B's not somewhere. And then just kind of nods in passing and heads down to the mechanics suite, hole, pit, space, closet thing.
I forget where it is. It's like a converted cargo bay or something, or part of the cargo, or it's somewhere.
What is?
The Cav's workshop is an actual space on the ship. I forget. We decided where it was before, but it's not a small room.
I feel like we dedicated some cargo bay space to it because we don't actually fill the cargo bay that frequently with cargo.
Yeah.
So Kev actually has just like shower curtains strung up in a specific quadrant and Christmas lights over it.
I think it's actually the secondary cargo bay or something like that. Well, whatever. Wherever Kev is.
Billy is going there. Billy heads down to the mechanic shop and standing outside the door knocks politely and then knocks a little bit louder to make sure you can hear over your music.
The door opens and you notice a little green hoverbot is the one that opened up the door. There is a very loud like droid techno music currently playing as Cav is currently wrapping up the last of the presents.
Have I met the green one yet, or is this new?
Yes, the green one is K4. Okay. Although if Billy starts to count, she might realize that there is one more than there was previously.
It's hard to count them. They're always moving around. So Billy just kind of accepts them as a cloud. They're a clan of tiny droids. When they are by themselves with her, she will address them accordingly. But in this case, thank you, K4. I've come to speak with Illyn.
K4, you can barely make out a little bit of binary beeps through the music, and then will start flying back into the room while the little blue droid, K5, turns down the music. And Illyn looks up and then finally notices Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Good day. Did I interrupt something? You seem to be curiously occupied.
Illyn was just finishing preparing a few gifts for the crew. Less formal than last time. Illyn just realized Illyn didn't give Astrano anything, but Illyn likes watching people unwrap presents.
You have gotten quite good at wrapping gifts. And actually, a gift is why I have come to visit you.
Oh?
She kind of rolls her shoulders back, and she's not wearing her coat, obviously, because she just assumes that Cav needed it to fix it. So Cav didn't have to steal Billy's coat. Billy just washed it, folded it very neatly, and presented it. So Billy's just her normal blue self with the painted kind of vest motif. But she kind of taps her chest where Cav had been doing the work while we were on the planet. And where she got that new little secret pouchy thing. And from it, she pulls just a little, like, well, actually, it wouldn't be that little given Cav's head. We'll say 10x4 box that's not wrapped. It's just in, like, it's just like a nice little black presentation box with brass hinges and a bow. And she looks at this and she just hands it over.
I saw these when I was shopping with the captain and thought you might appreciate them.
Illyn's head is cocked like a dog in a questioning pose as they take it and will pluck the bow off. Very helpfully sticks it on the passing by K6, who starts to panic a little bit.
Billy will
at the new introduction.
Billy will grab the bow and then set it on the desk for another droid to take of their own free will.
And then Cav will open up the little black case. And their mandibles click together in delight as they pull out a new pair of, I'm guessing, aviator sunglasses.
They are not just sunglasses. They are like double polymer lens fancy stuff because they give you that, they remove a
setback. They actually have a mechanical effect.
There's a mechanical effect that Christine will know when necessary. But I figured the way that kind of worked out is that it's that clear, or sorry, it's that the basic kind of metal framework of the aviator, but the lenses themselves are that weird kind of multicolor opalescent type thing where if you turn your head, it's green and purple and just kind of ripples through. And then there's also just a little bit of flaring on the metal around the lenses for cutting out sidelight. Just again, that's just to look cool. It's, and they're like vented.
Since you had lost yours in the jungle,
a scan doesn't know what to say, Billy. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Is there any way I may be of assistance at this moment?
Illyn slides the sunglasses on checking the fit, looks over at Billy.
How do they look?
On you, I'm willing to say dangerous.
Yes.
And you see the one eye wink out.
If Billy wants to, Cav could use a little help bringing presents out to the kitchen.
I would be happy to be of assistance. If you would...
She'll hold her arms out so you can, like, put stuff in them.
Cav will go ahead and pass a couple of packages over to Billy. Billy sees that one of them has her name on it, and the other one is marked for Berwyn. And then Cav is otherwise grabbing up the crate's breath from where it looks like Cav is working on it. And then a new garment for themselves as well, which as Cav grabs the coat and begins to move it, it has this like iridescent quality to it where like the light catches it and it looks like that oil slick thing where it's almost like a rainbow glittering over through it. But otherwise, from a distance, it looks black.
So with your sunglasses and your jacket, you should lie in an oil slick and just be invisible.
Apparently, I didn't know what color the sunglasses were going to be. Yeah, this works out nicely.
The silver frames might stand out, but for the most part, it's just kind of that purple-green ripple effect.
Now I'll just be very worried about humans in business suits.
If you would lead the way, I will follow.
Of course.
And Cav will issue a buzz, and the now six droids start to fall in line. Cav has to pick up one of them, the one that can't fly, K3, on the way out.
As the new one falls in line, Billy will kind of cock her head out and say,
"Hello, I'm Billy."
The little droid looks very similar to the other ones, but Billy might notice there's kind of a barrel sticking out of the front of it. Turns and greets her back in turn in binary and says that its name is K7.
It's lovely to meet you, K7.
So they troop out. Billy shuts the door behind. As she's walking back to the kitchen behind Cap, behind Illyn, she'll stick her head in Vistrano's gardening space, spot 3B, walk over, pick up 3B by the scruff, and, you know, one hand the gifts and just carry 3B that way into the kitchen. And as they get into the kitchen, she looks at 3B, looks at Vrebo, and just sets 3B in his hands.
Vrebo's just going to start petting 3B.
Billy nods. That is as it should be. And then she sets gifts on table and takes traditional seat wherever that is around the table.
Cavill hit a comm button on the wall.
Berwyn, Vistrano, come to the kitchen.
Berwyn does that.
So will Vistrano.
As they're all gathered there, Cavill take the two packages. I guess we'll leave the one in front of Billy and pass the other one over to Berwyn.
The scan apologizes that the scan doesn't have a ready-made gift for Vistrano at this time, but given everything that occurred back at the Pirate Queen's base, Illyn thought that these gifts would be appropriate. That's why Illyn took the time to borrow coats and necessary funds. If Berwyn and Billy wouldn't mind opening up their packages and trying on their new garments.
Billy will nod to Berwyn to go first.
Berwyn will open her package.
And this is where I'm going to leave both of you to describe what your respective deflective armors look like.
Okay.
So Berwyn pulls out, clearly not the same greatcoat, obviously. Kev, maybe... I don't know what. Use that to test the mind layer. Is that what happened to it?
Burned it.
It's been turned into dust.
Cav needed a new test subject for the crate's breath 2.0.
So Berwyn goes down to Cav's workshop at some point and sees the Nomad greatcoat on a Salonian shaped mannequin, and is like, "Wait a second!
Really, it's just a tube that happens to be about the same build as Berwyn. Close enough."
The scan apologizes, but the scan had a few anger issues to work out.
So Berwyn pulls out what is still a long coat sort of deal, and still kind of a reddish color, but it at certain parts of it appear more rigid. It clearly has like some armor plating that the other one didn't, under the exterior of some sort of faux space leather. It also, when she puts it on, is much more fit to her actual body shape than the other one was. The other one had been modified to accommodate her tail and everything, but like it was clearly not originally cut for a Salonian, but this has a much more custom fit, you might say.
How does it feel?
Pretty good. I really like this. Thank you, Kev.
You're welcome. And Billy?
Billy will do her very specific opening method where, you know, she just pops the tape and then slides the shape out, sets the full opened wrapping paper to the side, and then shakes out the coat. And this, it looks a lot like her coat that she got from Vern, in that it is the same kind of rich royal blue. It's hard to kind of tell what the material is. It's not really like, it looks more like a woolen coat than crushed velvet, which is kind of the style of before, but it's still very classy with some gold trim, and it kind of buckles magnetically across at an angle across her chest, and it is still long. It also has a bit of reinforcement and sits very snugly, but without restriction upon her chassis. She kind of straightens it and tugs it down and does a little bit of a twirl just to kind of look at what's going on behind her.
By twirl, do you mean that like your upper body rotates just at the waist 360 degrees?
Nope. She kind of lifts up one foot and kicks off, and you see she hovers a little bit as she's doing this, and she literally spins, not touching the ground, just does one quick spin, and then lands again.
This is quite lovely. It's reversible, too. Is it? Yes.
So Billy looks down at the she's wearing the blue with gold trim, and she's using the gold magnetic, and she kind of opens it to one side and looks inside, and the entire inside is just gold, kind of shiny version of the material. And so she takes it off, reverses it, puts it back on, and looks like a living statue, basically. Kind of just full-on, beautiful, flowing gold with a blue flower. And she does the twirl again, and everybody but Kev probably has to kind of look away a little bit because there's just light everywhere. And Billy looks at it and looks at Kev and says, I see that you made it in the style that I found on the info chip that you gave me. I cannot wait to show Vuren.
Yes, Ilan was trying to accommodate any requests and specific needs for anatomy.
And Cav looks over at Berwin's tail for a moment and then away. The other thing that should be noted is now all four of the characters have some sort of long coat with some armor plating to it. There are differences in design, but there is since Cav made all of them, there's enough similarities. It probably has a little bit of like familiarity between the four of them.
And now they are a crew.
Yeah, four people in long coats and Vrebo in his jumpsuit. But he's still friggin' cool looking.
While we've got everybody here, I did want to make one announcement. Billy has decided to accept the role of first mate of the Sky on Fire. So she is my number two, my second in command. I hope that you'll give her the same respect's the word I'll go with that you give me.
I was under the impression that she already was.
What gave you that idea?
Her general competence?
Billy puts a kind hand on Vistrano's shoulder just to give him a break from the captain's piercing kind of, what do you mean, kind of face.
The Scand sees how it is. The Scand is a little hurt that Berwin did not formally demote Cav during the employee review, but
Cav,
the Scand will get over it. The Scand, yes?
This doesn't mean that I think less of you. I think your talents are elsewhere. Please don't be mad.
That is fair, Berwin. Are Berwin and Ilan still partners?
Yes, of course.
Do you know what I believe it is time for?
Billy stands up, straightens her jacket, looks at everyone around the table.
I believe now is the correct time for a group hug.
Oh dear.
Giant droid arms encircle everyone.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were going to suggest we watch that terrible show.
Heights and Depths?
No, don't remind her.
No, I believe there is a documentary we should watch. I heard about it on the HoloNet.
I like documentaries.
I will make popcorn.
Is it the one about the exploitation of the Sando Aqua Monster? I watched that one.
It kind of makes me
feel bad for being a sentient being in this galaxy, but, you know.
That sounds fascinating. I want to watch that.
Come, we will set up a projector in the cargo bay. Vreebo, will you join us?
Vreebo's still hugging you.
To be fair, Billy hasn't actually released anybody yet. This is all awkward conversation while encircled by giant droid arms.
Oh, I see how it is. You're just going to drag everyone to there to watch.
It's not technically a command, although I do have some weight to throw around, as it were. Come! We will have a movie night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, and Ilan on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K.
I'm Brandon, and I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I'm Leslie, and I'm on Twitter at LeslieJS.
And you can find me, Brit, but not Vistrano, because I talk way too forcefully to be Vistrano on Atomic Firebird.
There's lots of birds on Brit's
Twitter.
They're
not birds. They're apparently...
It's in the names.
Or something.
On fire?
I don't get it.
Burb.
There's burbs on...
Really cool burbs.
Brit's Twitter. And there's the occasional sheeb on my Twitter.
Oh, I love...
We are at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by reading and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.